Good morning, everyone. Listening to Randy and his announcements this morning, asking us to pray for Carl during his recovery, I think we also need to pray for Debbie as he's recovering. We know what kind of patient Carl can be, and so be mindful of the caretakers as who we pray for also. You think about your life as a child of God for just a moment. I want to talk basketball for just a second. And I want to compare some things before I show you start getting into the lesson itself and understanding some things that we do. Basketball players practice daily. They practice offense, they practice defense. So that when they get into a game, what they can do is they can implement those things that they practiced for the purpose of winning that particular game. They spend hours practicing full court presses. They spend hours learning how to break full court presses. They do all of that for the purpose, and they spend this time diligently, spend time practicing so that they can take it to the courts and win their games. As children of God, one of the things that I think we need to consider in our lives is the things we put into practice in our own lives. Are we diligently doing things, practicing those things, so that we can take them into our daily living and implement them? Our series for the month of January has been along the theme of Be More. In the first 2 weeks, we talked about being more courageous, being more influential, and this week we're going to talk about diligence, and then next week we're going to address the topic of being optimistic. Those are great things because each one of those can help us in the year 2017. We can be more diligent in the year than we were in 2016. We can use the words of the proverb writer to inspire us and help us to do that. But it's the idea not just simply of practicing. It's the idea of being able to put those things into practice. It's not just the matter of how hard you work, but it's a matter of working efficiently to be able to accomplish a better life as a child of God. And I want us to take into consideration all of those things and think about this for just a moment, about the only thing that comes without effort is old age. Think about that. You can sit in a chair 24 hours a day, just get up, eat, go back, sit down, and you're still going to get older. Now, you may not get as old as some people because you're not taking care of yourself properly. But you'll grow old without much effort. That's part of the cycle of life. But as a child of God, one of the things we talked about in the Bible class this morning is the fact that in the auditorium Bible class is certain things need to abound more and more in our lives. And in order for them to abound more and more in our lives, diligence needs to be applied. Effort needs to be applied in our lives. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings, he will not stand before men." The American Standard Version uses this, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" That word diligent, the word is substituted up here, a man who excels in his work. One who works efficiently. One who is, when we get to defining the word here in just a minute, is steady, earnest, energetic. And think about those. Being successful in any venture in life necessitates realistic goals. It necessitates faith that those goals can be accomplished and courage to accept the challenge of meeting the goals. In the life of a child of God, for each and every one of us, we may set goals at the beginning of the year. Some people call them resolutions. But if you set a goal for your life to improve your life so that certain aspects of your life may begin to abound more and more, whether it be the love that you show one another, whether it be you wanting to be more tender-hearted or kind towards other individuals, whatever aspect of your life that you're truly trying to affect by change, There needs to be some diligence applied. You still need that characteristic in your life. And thinking about that, just simply defining the word by going to dictionaries, you end up seeing it's characterized by that steadiness, that earnestness, energetic application and effort. And some people might even go far as to say that it is a painstaking effort. It is an effort that you do not realize or that you cannot realize without going the extra mile. Bodybuilders use the word no pain, no gain. Sometimes in a life of a child of God, we experience pain and yet we continue to grow. Turmoil can come into our lives. It's that hope that we have as a child of God that helps get us through that, but it's applying the things that we've learned in our lives as children of God that actually bring us to this point, effectively working it. So it's persevering application. Let's just think about that for a moment. In our lives as children of God, when you open your Bibles and you read it, you should be reading it to understand it. You should be reading it to gain wisdom, but you should be reading it with the goal of applying what God has given us there to improve your life. We all want improved lives. We want to be better individuals. But it's going to require effort on your part in order to become that type of person. We experience a new birth as children of God. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, we're to be transformed. That word transformed that's used there is the Greek word metamorpho. For us, the word we get metamorphosis, which is change in our lives. Our lives change when we become children of Christ. But it's going to be perseverance in our lives that allows us to keep growing, to keep progressing. And so we want to make that application. You think about the synonyms that are used: hardworking, effort, industrious, unfailing, unflagging, unrelenting. And then you think of the words that mean the opposite of that: dilatory, lazy, negligent, indifference, carelessness. And that word indifference, we see in the church of Laodicea over in Revelation chapter 3. And truly, for a child of God, there is no place for those words in our lives as children of God. Diligence must be applied, must be a characteristic of each and every one of us when we want, if we're desiring to serve God better in the future than in the past. See, diligence is the mother of good fortune. Think about that. Do you remember the story that you were told as a child growing up with the tortoise and the hare? Because success, you think about it, does not always come to the fastest or to the most talented, but rather to the one who's the most diligent, the one who perseveres, the one who keeps on going to the very end. I think about that rabbit and how fast he was. He should have easily won that race. But what happens with some individuals who are talented, they become indifferent along the way because they're so much better at a certain thing than other people that they don't have to practice it. They don't have to put things into application in their own lives. As a child of God, some people grow immediately and grow fast at the very beginning. They see the experience, the growth in their lives, and all of a sudden they say, well, that's enough. I need to rest. And whether you realize it or not, those that are growing at a slow and steady rate eventually pass them on the way. The rabbit, when you think about it in his life, he's not going to He might have finished the race, but he finished it last. The tortoise in that story was slow and steady, and he finished it and won. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. There is a sense of perseverance that is required in everyone's life. And in order to persevere, we have to be up to the challenge. To be up to that challenge of life as a child of God requires diligence on our part. It has been said that the heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward through the night. Men. You know, in the business world, burning the midnight oil was supposed to get you and bring you more success. The harder you work, the longer the hours you work, the more successful you were supposed to be. I want to make a suggestion. It's not always about burning the midnight oil. It's about being efficient in the things that you do. Working properly, with the right attitude, with the right characteristics in your life that say, I cannot sit idly by, but I need to always be working in the kingdom of the Lord. You remember what Jesus told his mother, told his family, told his disciples? I must work the works of Him who sent me. As children of God, that is our obligation today also. We are in the kingdom of God and we must work the works of the Father. There is never a point in our lives that indifference can come in. You see, we need to be able to defeat the power of laziness. It could be easy for every one of us. If I were not standing up here preaching and preparing the lessons, it'd be just as easy for me to sit where you are and become totally dependent upon the preacher to feed me the Word of God, when I should be able to feed myself. But you think about this. Laziness promotes failure to prosper. I love this because aspirations, desires, or wishes point us in that direction, but they're just that. They're nothing more than aspirations because nothing's been put into motion. Nothing has taken place to cause growth. You think about this, point us in a direction that we should go, but it is that perspiration that actually moves us to succeed. We're going to be looking at a lot of things that the proverb writer says today. Solomon in his wisdom again says this in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession." My wife does not want me to hunt. She doesn't like it when men are showing off trophies of what they've killed just for sport. Hunting should not necessarily be for sport if you listen to Solomon. If you're out there, there should be a purpose behind it. It's not just for the trophy, it's for what it provides. This lazy man doesn't roast what he took in hunting. Why not? He lets it spoil along the way. He doesn't even give it to someone who might be able to use it. But think about our lives as children of God. If we're going to defeat the power of laziness, we need some diligence in our lives. If laziness promotes failure, think about the farmer for just a minute. Let me give you an illustration of two farmers. Identical size farms, side by side, you know, the acreages was the same. You could drive by one farmer's house and you could see new barns, you could see new fence posts and new fence up. You could see the irrigated land and the well-fed animals and the crops that were just flourishing. And then you could drive by the second farmer's house and you could see dilapidated barns, fences that were broken and needing repair. You see the farmhouse itself where they lived in a shambles and the ground out there dry and hardly any crop coming up at all. What's the difference between the two? One spent time diligently preparing the earth. One spent time diligently doing that which he could cultivate good seed in the ground and bring it to production, to where he could reap, where he could earn. And the other one just kind of cast things out there waiting. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. The lazy man is like iron that rusts from not being used. The lazy man is like water that stagnates from its stillness. And for a child of God to become stagnant in their life is a horrible thing. It's a dangerous thing. It means that we're endangering our own souls of dying. So daily diligence is required. Give me the man that aspires and perspires. He will get the job done. No other will. I want to say this right up front. I mentioned this also in the Bible class this morning. Just because I'm telling you your life as a child of God takes effort doesn't mean I'm telling you you're going to be saved by your works. We are saved by God's grace. We are saved because we still need His mercy. And when we stand before Him in that day of judgment, if we want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it's not simply going to be because we have made the extra effort. We have gone the extra mile. We have said to God, "Did not we do this in Your name or this in Your name?" Because if we go through life thinking that's going to be the case, then we may be in danger of hearing the same thing that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. "Depart. I don't know you, you workers of iniquity." We endanger our lives that way, but it doesn't mean that we give up and do nothing. It still requires effort on our parts to live as children of God. Daily diligence is required at work. It's required at school. So the Bible emphasizes the need for that daily diligence. You think about the slothful individuals, it's prohibited as Christians. We are not to be lagging in diligence. We're to be fervent in spirit. We're to serving the Lord, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. You think about it in your lives as children of God, and you're on your in the workplace. You should know what your business is. Employers, I remember for years looking at help wanted ads, and one of the first requirements was they wanted self-motivated individuals. Why? Because they didn't want to have to tell you all the time what you needed to do on the job. Know your job, is what they're saying. Do your job. The proverb writer in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds." Attend to your job. The "and" is used in Proverbs chapter 6. Turn there if you would. As an example, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Now you think about that. The difference between the two that are being described here. Think about that ant. Constantly, always busy, always working. We had, in Portales, New Mexico, out by our sidewalk, a colony of ants. Red ants, but a colony of ants that you could see constantly moving from one end of the sidewalk to the other, and just almost in formation. Every now and then you'd definitely see them carrying things back. But it was like they were always working. What were they doing? You think about this. "Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." You realize they have a purpose? They know their purpose, whether it's the instinctive purpose that was built into to their lives, but you think about it, they know what to do. And they do it, is what they're saying. They gather food in the harvest. "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep?" A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. "So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." You know, there's a sermon right there all by itself on that text. And you think about this. You know your jobs. Look at examples of those who work efficiently. Learn from them. Know that the Bible emphasizes that need. And think about what it says. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent man makes rich." Now, that's not going to tell you that you're going to be the wealthiest man in the world, but you're going to prosper. You're going to do those things that are going to be able to allow you to provide for yourself and your families. You're going to be able to work and understand that, but that slack hand, the one that wants that coffee break every 30 minutes, the one who wants to take the morning siesta, then the afternoon siesta in the same work day. The hand of the diligent will rule. The lazy man will be put to forced labor. The diligent child of God will enter into heaven. The man who wants to be part of the world will not. The writer will go on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells us this diligence needs to be applied even in the home. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And you think about all of the examples that Paul uses in his teachings. In Ephesians chapter 5, that relationship between the husband and the wife is clearly expressed. How that one's there needs to be mutual respect of one another in the home. But especially the husband, you love the wife as you love yourself. You love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You think of all of this. And then children, parents, Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and mother, for this is right in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or anger. All of those things are part of this. And it requires effort to build good homes, to build good families. It doesn't just happen. You don't just get married and wake up the next day and you have an instantly successful family. Everything takes effort, diligence on your part to make sure that you as the wife are fulfilling your God-given role as a wife and you as a husband are fulfilling your God-given role as a husband. It takes effort on your part. It takes effort on the part of parents to be the parents that they're supposed to be. And children, it takes effort on your part to understand what honor your mother and father truly means. To learn that in your life, you can bring honor to the name that you wear. My last name is Lockmiller. And if I wear that name, it should bring honor to my mother and father. But you're also part of the family of God. As a Christian, you wear that name Christian. As you wear that name, you should bring honor to your Father who is in heaven. And all the lessons that we learn through family life actually point us back to God. If we learn to honor our father and mother in this life, then we're going to honor our Father in heaven as well. Consider, too, that there's a spiritual diligence that's necessary. And that's where it comes home to us as Christians. It's not just, because you think about that. There are successful families in the world today who are of the world and not of the kingdom of God. But they've worked at it. But here's the side that we truly need to strive to be better at. It is our soul's condition. It is where we are today in relationship to wearing that name, child of God. And I want you to consider for just a moment that it is keeping your heart. When you read those things, or when Tyler read from Proverbs chapter 4 this morning, and he listened, and we listened to those words once again. As Solomon writes and begins, he says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." Why? He says, "For I give you good doctrine, good teaching. Do not forsake my law. Do not forsake the commands that I give you. Do not forsake the teaching that is presented to you. Because when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments.'" I'm going back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. But now I want you to go back down to verse 20. Because he repeats it. my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And you see again, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It is so important to us, especially when it comes to our soul's salvation, that the wisdom that has come from above be a part of our lives. That it be applied in our lives. That when we listen to it, we heed it. That when we read it, we don't forget it. We read it for the purpose of understanding, to keep it in the midst of our heart. Why? For the same reason that Solomon is telling his son, the words that he's given them are life to him. The words of God are life to us today. For they are life to those who find them. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What is in here is revealed in our actions, is revealed in our words. When we are commanded over and over again in the New Testament to walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called, to walk worthy of God, to walk wise, all of those phrases that come to mind, in order for us to walk properly, it is taking what God has given us through His Holy Word and making sure that that Word dwells in us so that we can truly live it with all diligence, with all effort, with persevering effort in our lives. Because out of this spring the issues of life. This reveals who we are to the world. The way we talk, in private, in public, reveals to the world whether or not we're children of God. Our actions, the places we go, reveal who we are as children of God. See, Christ knew the value of working. He knew the value of working. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. We need to understand too that as children of God today, we need to be diligent in our lives until the Lord appears a second time. See, what I said about indifference earlier, the truth of the matter is, in our lives, there's no room for it. There's no season of indifference when it comes to the gospel. You know, Paul told a young preacher in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. If you look at that, there is no indifference in there. There's no time for slackness when it comes to the spreading of the gospel for our lives as children of God. Yes, we might say, well, Brian, we all need to be able to rest and relax. I'm not talking about that. But when we talk about being a child of God, it's an understanding that we have to be prepared all the time. The preacher gets up, preaches when a message is popular or when it's unpopular. He never gets up there and preaches a message and says, you can do this if you want to or if you don't. He's not supposed to do that because there's no place for indifference in preaching. It's God's ways or no way at all. And that message is sometimes hard. But if you accept it, it will be life to you. And our lives are the same way. You have to be a child of God when it's fun and when it's hard. And there's no gray area in that because life is going to be one or the other for you. You have to keep moving. Here's the deal. When you preach the word in season and out of season, you convince, you rebuke, you exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And then you make your calling and election sure. The very thing that the Apostle Peter spoke of in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Here you go again. That word is used over and over and over again in Scripture for a purpose. To make us realize that we can't just sit back and let life come to us and relax and ho-hum, life is a child of God. That's not what life is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be working in the vineyard of the Lord. We're supposed to understand that our calling and election will not be sure if we're not diligent in our lives to make sure that our lives glorify God. We cannot make our calling and election sure if we are not diligent in living holy lives, sanctified lives. For if you do these things, Paul says, if you're diligent in these things, or Peter says this, if you're diligent in these things. Now think about this. What things is he talking about in verse 10 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter? He's talking about those things, if you add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge, all of those things that come down to brotherly love and in those verses preceding that. If you're diligent in applying that to your life, you're going to make your calling and your election sure. You're going to remain blameless in this life. You're going to be, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Talking about that time in 2 Peter chapter 3 when the Lord is going to return, where everything that we know is going to be destroyed by fire and there's judgment. But you go back to verse 9, we find out that we have a God that is long-suffering, that does not desire anyone to be condemned, but wants all men to come to repentance. But it requires diligence to be found before God in peace. Not just in peace with the world, but in peace with Him. Being at peace with God. Being an individual like David, who is a man after God's own heart, who will do all of His will. That's what God wants from each one of us. He didn't say of David, He did my will on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays. To imply that David would do all of God's will implied that he was doing it every day of his life, even though David was not a perfect man. Be steady and ready at all times in our lives. You think about it, and while they went to buy the bridegroom, and you think about that parable there of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, and those who came that were ready and brought the extra oil, and those who thought they'd brought enough but didn't. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Diligence means we will be prepared to meet our God. Diligence means that when the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, returns this second time, we'll be waiting for Him and ready for Him when He returns. Why? Because we've been diligent in our lives. We expect His return. We look forward to it. And we want our lives fully prepared to meet Him. We sing that song, "Are you prepared to meet your God?" Well, are we? This is a parable of just that, being prepared. In order to be prepared, it requires diligence in the lives of each and every one of us. So as you think about this, the year 2017, we are now, this is the third Sunday of the year. It's kind of hard to believe that we're beginning the third week of a new year. It just seems like yesterday it was 2016. Be honest with you, it seems like yesterday it was 2015. It doesn't seem that long ago. Be diligent. Bite off more than you can chew and chew it. Plan more than you can do and do it. Hit your wagon to the star, keep your seat, and there you are. I should have just left that part off of the quote. But you think about it, that first half of that, as a child of God, set goals for yourself that are realistic and then fulfill them. And if you fulfill those goals as a child of God, grow more. And so, keep those goals not simply within reach, just a little bit out of your reach so that you have to be a little bit more diligent in attaining them. Be more diligent with your life as a child of God. Let us be Christians that aspire and perspire in the vineyard of the Lord. Let us be those people that are working the works of the Father who sent the Son into the world so that we will be working the works when He comes. Let's be the people that we claim to be in 2017. Take out your songbooks. I was looking at this song when I saw Joe put it up on the bullet on the board over here, and was looking at the words in the song, and there are some words that really stand out to me, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just in verse 1, because it talks about why we pray and why we plead, and that's why we offer invitations. We plead with you to do that right thing in your life so that you can become part of that family of God. But it's that next line, while you see your soul's deep need. Do you see your soul's deep need this morning? Because you think about it, the deep need of every man's soul is the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. It is that forgiveness of sins. It is that new birth. It is that becoming a new creature in Christ. It is that transformation that is what is needed. And if you see your deep need of the salvation of Jesus Christ this morning, then we want to assist you in that. If it's baptism for the remission of your sins, everything's ready. If it's prayers of encouragement for a life that may have strayed from God, we stand ready to assist you with that in the encouragement to be diligent every day of your life following. You see, there's a passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 2 that says, be faithful unto death, and you'll receive a crown of life. To be faithful unto death requires diligence in your life. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation and you see your soul's deep need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.